fast.
And Mark Raggett.
Mark Raggett.
Hello again.
So I had Troy Doss down here.
Troy is out of town, and so I've asked Mark to...
Great.
...to sit in with me.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. So, Kara, you want to... It's you guys,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Just here for...
I'm just going to briefly walk you guys through what this project is and go through the design guidelines. I have no materials for you, so this is it. A brief overview of the design guidelines. There's a few discussion points that I want to raise with you all, and then we'll talk about next steps and questions that you guys have. Very briefly, Troy's not here, and this is kind of what the part that he's managing, but I just wanted to touch upon, you know, part of this project is getting into the code and amending it to facilitate the design guidelines addressing the Greenway Development Plan that was accepted by City Council in 2004, as well as repealing the required residential development area and exempting hotels from the retail sales and services prohibition that currently exists. And I know he went over this with you guys last time, but I just kind of wanted a little reminder. I'm going to be talking about the guidelines, so that's basically what this briefing is about. So currently we have design guidelines for the Greenway, and the point of this project is to facilitate their how they would address an applicant that wants to use the Greenway Development Plan. And so the current guidelines are in front of you, these four. And what we would propose is keeping the text for the four that are currently there and amending most of them to facilitate, again, the Greenway Development Plan. And then we would also propose adding three, and then, so these would be the three that we would add, and then taking this defined viewpoints and broadening it to include a diverse set of gathering places, so other places of, you know, where you would gather besides what the guidelines currently define as viewpoints.
So could you go back, I'm sorry to belabor this, but activate the Greenway, what does that mean?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
I'll get into that. And that, and you've already...
cut to the chase.
Yeah, you have. That's great. That's what a lot of my questions are about, so thank you. So here's the list, and I'll just quickly go over these. The ones in white are the new, and the sort of greenish are the ones that are already there that we would be amending. So the introduction would basically talk about the intent of the Greenway Development Plan, and then how to be flexible with respect to ground conditions, because this was done without like a real extensive survey, you know, that applicants would need to meet the intent of the Greenway Development Plan, although not everything is going to be exactly where the Greenway Development Plan has positioned certain features. So we think it would be appropriate to divide the reaches or divide the Greenway into reaches, which would correspond with their appropriate like history, hydrology, and then how that affects habitat potential. So the main idea would be that there would be a main activity area in each reach, and that, for instance, this area, based on hydrology being different from the north and south reaches, would be more active, whereas the north and south reaches have higher potential for habitat, and the north reach especially having a higher potential for developing coves and gravel bars, et cetera. So that's just an example of why we want to treat these reaches differently. This guideline currently exists within the existing guidelines. So we would just want to address, these are all the guidelines that that are currently there. We would move the piece about lighting to integrating materials, structures, and art, and keep this one mainly about the trail system, incorporating text that is so important to the Greenway Development Plan, such as the dual trail system, as well as talking about the importance of north-south continuity because this greenway will be developed incrementally, how important it is for one, you know, for the trail to be continuous throughout and how that's addressed, and how trail signage would greatly help with the cohesion as well as just sort of navigating a dual trail system. The Enhance the Riverbank, we're not really proposing changing this at all, except to update a few images and then move this guideline that really talks about habitat to the habitat section. We just think that's where it belongs. Number four. So this is what we have for Activate the Greenway. I'll just kind of go over this briefly, but I do have specific questions that I want to get into after I give this overview. We've kind of divided it into four key areas. The first would be active uses, incorporating a variety of active uses, designing building edges, so how private development interfaces with the greenway, streets and access ways, whether they're east, west, or north, south, and how those provide clear connections to the greenway, open spaces where they abut or are across the street, if that's if that happens, how those correspond to the greenway, as well as areas under the bridge, under the two existing bridges and one potential bridge, and how those areas are designed to interface with the greenway. So I promise I'll get back to that. The next guideline would be the former defined viewpoints. And we would, again, broaden this to include other areas such as plazas, play areas, and docks, as well as overlooks, which were all incorporated in the Greenway Development Plan. So how the range of special activities would correspond to each reach and the character and identity of each area, as well as the importance of aligning these activity areas with major connections and views. Next is the material structures and art. This would mainly speak to the general design and quality of structures. Again, continuity and paving being important. This is where that non-intrusive lighting guideline would sit. And this would generally be talking about specific areas with regard to structures, lighting, paving, walls, seating, railing, and public art. And then finally, number seven is design diverse plant communities. There is already guidance in the current guidelines about plant communities, and this amendment would speak specifically to the eight habitat types that were proposed in the Greenway Development Plan, and basically tie it to location, riverbank elevation, and then you can see in this plan there's also areas where appropriate habitat would be located. And so that's where we would give guidance according to the elevation. There would be typical plantings, so a plant list in the appendix, as well as what the function of the habitat would be, so what might be appropriate for views, for human interaction, and wildlife. And then there would be guidance of canopy structure, so whether or not it's a very heavy canopy or light. So getting enough guidance so that this is flexible but not confusing. And then finally, there would be an appendix. We would add the graphics and illustrations that were developed in the Greenway Development Plan, the plant list, which would live here, as well as some of the history research that Walker Macy did in developing the Greenway Development Plan. So both environmental habitat as well as industrial. The art plan by Buster Simpson would also live here, and there would be a glossary of terms. Especially when you're navigating the habitat, it becomes important to kind of understand what some of the terminology is. So that's, we've suggested that a glossary would be really helpful. So this is the list of proposed design guidelines, and now we'd like to discuss questions, discussion points with Activate the Greenway, and if you have preemptive discussion points, that'd be great. We have a few that we could get into. The active uses.
Okay, 20 minutes.
Portion of Activate the Greenway. We'd like to really talk about the what, where, and how much of this particular point. In the zoning code right now, ground floor active uses are defined by lobbies, retail, residential, commercial, and office. So if we want to zero in on what exactly it is that we mean by active uses in the Greenway, let us know. And then if there's a where, is it all over the Greenway? Is it in a few key spots? What's the best way to approach this? And that also goes with how much. So we wanted to open that up to you all and see.
Well, Troy and I have had numerous conversations about this, just to let the commission know. And actually, we had at one point where Troy had invited me to participate in the process in some way as part of the design commission in looking at defining this. We have it never really came together. It didn't happen. But one of the things that I talked about quite a bit was, and I know it's a tall order, but where we talk about active uses in the central city, we have a map that outlines what those are, and there's a line where those occur. And it seemed to me that I don't want to speak for Troy, but I think he wanted to really kind of handle this with a design guideline as opposed to an active uses map designation. But I still feel, and I hope we can have this conversation, I still feel like we need to have a designation because we have tried through the design guidelines to have active uses, at the end of the accessways, the green accessways, and various locations along the Greenway, and we've accomplished nothing from that perspective, because the residential value and the sales of that property and the attractiveness of the waterfront has always supported housing sales. So I would once again, and I'd love to hear from the rest of the commission, like to propose that we look at defining where the major active use areas should be. And that's recognizing that Prometheus has looked at the end of Lowell. I think it's Lowell. And they have commercial space on the waterfront there.
A map.
And then there is talk at the end of Gibbs about that being a public space with a plaza and more of an urban kind of place. And so if there was a place that we would not want to have, I mean, it might be okay to have housing units all around those spaces, but it would seem to me that what we'd want to do is go beyond just simply encouraging with design guidelines to put in restaurants and shops and those kinds of things on the waterfront. I know it often is a push, and we can point to River Place as a difficult situation, but I think there are better ways to do it than
through
River
the
Place.
Design guidelines, is what you're saying.
Well, no, just the fact of introducing active uses. Those businesses in River Place are pretty well known for having a hard time surviving. but I think here we have an opportunity where our density is much higher, the population is going to be much greater, and if we don't plan for it and we don't get the lines on the map, we're going to be encouraging with design guidelines, and unless we're pressed to simply deny an applicant for not providing some active use based on a guideline. And that is really, from my experience, it's really difficult for the design commission.
Well, and based on the letter of the law, they are already providing active use. I mean, a house on the Greenway is active use.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not a parking lot. So
That's actually topic one. I'm glad, rather, to confirm again, Lloyd, that your active use is like, it sounds like a retail sales.
Yeah, what we're talking about is commercial.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because Karen and I were just looking at the code over there, that The active building use does actually travel down many of these east-west, not all of them, but many east-west streets. It's a 50% frontage requirement. So, again,
but does it? It's only it doesn't get to the river. It's 100 feet from the river.
You know, it doesn't run this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It runs on a lot of these east-west streets. And again, that's a 50% requirement. So that can be located back towards River Parkway.
Right.
I think part of this again was what we wanted to do was confirm again that it sounds like where you're going is a commercial, so it's a retail sales, service, restaurant, cafe, something. And then if you want to go with this requirement, again, we could be looking at modifications. What may happen is if we get a lot of applicants who are requesting modifications to the design review process to this, is what could happen if they're not able to make that work out there. Because the current standard does require the construction of architectural space that is designed to take retail sales and service, which, again, may be different than a residential
type. Well, I think the idea, too, here is that because I think it could be things we're trying to keep it out of these little private slots of housing, whatever, they're 25 feet wide, and they're never going to convert back to a commercial type of thing. But I mean, I think there could be other things like the building, the amenities like their fitness center and their swimming pool and stuff like that, where there's still, some of that type of stuff. I mean, that would be far better than just these privatized condos that have a little gateway that says, okay, stop here.
Because
the
real problem that we're addressing is the fact that when you pass through there now, you feel like you're going through someone's backyard. Mm-hmm. And it's being treated that way by the people that live there, that you are, in fact, going through their backyard and they're not happy about you being there. And I think that's part of the problem. And the other problem is that, it's only as strong as the eyes on the street that are in those condos. And it becomes kind of when you don't have any kind of public or commercial or open to whoever walks in any time use there, it becomes theirs and not ours. And so, I think we are talking about commercial nodes. And I don't think you can just say, sure, go ahead and build a sandwich shop there and it'll be fine. I mean, we are going to have to really be kind of deliberate about where it goes, I think, in order for it to survive.
Well, we have very few opportunities at this point anyway. I mean, if you look in the central portion, unless we can, grab Prometheus right now and get them on board. I mean, once they're gone, then, you got Gibbs and two more buildings.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, these two are in right now. And we have these three blocks that aren't. Yes, and then Prometheus, hasn't built yet. Have they been for the AR?
Yeah.
And they're just going to come back and say live, work on those front pages, and that's going to be their satisfaction.
We have nothing to say. We'll deny it. Send it to council.
You guys are prime members. I just want to remind everyone, and I know Lloyd and Jeff have been here longer, and I was involved sort of going back to the late 90s and sort of developing this whole thing, and that, again, there's probably going to be a limited amount of retail and sales and service total that the district is able to support. We have sort of a pretty powerful hierarchy of north-south streets going on here, which, again, are going to be various grades attractive to retail. The streetcar right now is already built and constructed on the Moody Bond corridor here. We obviously have the tram coming down here in Gibbs. River Parkway right now is right where people are orienting retail. Frankly, I wish they kind of would not do that and just get the residential lobbies facing, so we get more of a Montana type of thing. But they're kind of building a lot of retail right now on River Parkway, which I was hoping was going to be more of the residential lobby kind of street. And then the Greenway, which again is the least visible and one-sided right now. And just from a retail standpoint, we know that that's difficult. Other parts of town, Parkway is an example, where you're looking at the river. The Greenway has not been built yet. It's still clearly the backyard, and frankly, it is the backyard. It hasn't been built yet. I think there's an expectation that when it does get built, we will get more of that front yard public use of that facility and improve prospects for retail there.
I want to use
but we
a
can
really
because
nasty...
We've already, go ahead.
I want to use a really nasty example. I shouldn't say nasty, but I don't like the execution, but in principle, it's very highly successful, and it's one-sided, and it's great, and it's over in Vancouver on the Columbia River. And what they've done is they put the housing behind, they put all the commercial on the river, except at the far east end. I believe that's the only place where the residential comes down, or maybe right in the center. But from the interstate bridge to almost 33rd Avenue on the south side, is all, they're all restaurants, and they're mostly all restaurants and brew pubs and all that kind of stuff, and the Greenway and a park, and it is just full of people, and people are going back and forth there, even on...
I mean, there's volleyball courts, there's...
Yeah, there's... it's
rollerblading. Oh,
yeah, it's very lively, and this is going to be everybody's backyard, and it will not... It'll be...
I think you're right. I mean, I think it definitely now is functioning as a backyard, frankly, in a way it actually shouldn't even be.
Or everybody's front yard in some cases.
I was just trying to say is that there's going to be an expectation. This is a fairly, you know, as we know, sort of hard
streetcar
out of district. We have a streetcar which is naturally going to be attractive to retail, and we have River Parkway, which now is going to be kind of the main drag. So we have already a lot of pressure and interest in just natural gravitation of retail towards this western part of the district. I think, you know, that being said, I think there's still clearly, you know, the idea of public, you know, publicizing this piece of the district. Also just flagged that up here in the north, you know, we're going to have the Beach Street sort of from the other Vancouver in British Columbia kind of opportunity where we're going to have the OHSU campus probably in some form up in here. There's going to be some great issues to deal with, but we're going to have a road that's probably going to be an extension of Bond here or something running along between development and the Greenway, which will offer another sort of, you know, frontage sort of opportunity, probably a little bit higher visibility than this. So in terms of activating the Greenway, this, even though ironically it's sort of right next to the most, you know, habitat, the largest habitat opportunity, could offer the highest visibility and therefore maybe the most active sort of stretch of Greenway frontage in the district. But that was why we were asking the where question, which is, you know, where it should be, you know, should we have the most activity? And is it different north of Rossland Bridge than south? And is it sort of at the ends of some of these east-west streets, or is it all along the Greenway?
I think
go ahead.
Well, I think what was interesting about the slides that I was showing, and there seems to be a disconnect. And these are the images I've always seen just coming out of the commission recently, and even before, just reading the history. It's always shown this Greenway, and it's not anywhere near the hardscape that you showed in all your slides. And so that this is what the development community has always seen. And so and these images are very powerful, and they've always said backyard, whereas every image you show...
Every image I show is influenced by how much you guys keep saying active uses, active uses, active uses.
No, and I'm saying I like the hardscape approach more than this kind of, and I think it came up in the last time we all sat here, so I almost want to see every road get to the river. I mean, that's one thing that Portland's always turned its back on the river, and this is I'd hate to see a big, strong green belt then keep us away from the river again. And so when all your images showing the hardscape and all those slides, just with that a little bit. And so if we did focus, and I think this came up on, pick a few strong locations for a really strong hardscape, and then have a natural stretch, and then a really hard scape that a restaurant can sit on, that the volleyball court can be at, and then go back to a natural, you know, I think that would be strong to give those, the developing groups, a focal point to put their retail commercial. Because if we spread it all along the whole, it's not going to, it couldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we it's consistent with the commission's, I think, perspective forever since this started. When we started penning around on this, we wanted some urban spaces that were on the water, that were active, that had retail uses, commercial uses, restaurants. Maybe it doesn't have to be retail, but restaurants and some lively public uses to get people to come down the water. In fact, Pacific Center and False Creek, they all have, you know, retail comes down and turns the corner down there on the waterfront, and it really adds a dynamic to it that is not going to exist here.
The idea is that you can go down there, and maybe it's only three destination restaurants or something, and then tied to that is you can go down and rent your kayak or your canoe, and ultimately, somewhere we find that there's a dock in there, too, so that people can come up from Lake Oswego or from anywhere else on their boats, and they can come up and go to dinner. I mean, that's what we're trying to create here.
Right, exactly.
So
That's what happens in Vancouver. They've got little docks there, and you can go and tie up and go dine and go.
Push you guys to be a little more specific.
I think Gibbs is... right now you've got Park and you've got Core, and it's and then it looks, like Ben says, it looks like, you know, all green park right there, and we're talking about a very public gesture down to the river at that point. And Sarah started to do that in her plan before, you know, she was...
Well, there's a thing that they run up against, too. I mean, there's a real issue with getting right to the edge of the water because of cleanup and nymphs. And I mean, I don't think we're going to get a hard presence right at the water line here.
Well, we talked about creating a beach at the end of Gibbs.
Yeah.
Beach, maybe. Right. Okay.
Yeah, you could be urban right up to the edge and then go down. It could be beach or it could be soft or something.
Well, and wouldn't it be great if you could go to the beach in Portland?
It would be great. If you could swim in the water, it'd be even better. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It would be great to have that kind of access. And I know. Right. No, I know. It would be great to see.
But Mark, if you have that up there, and I think that we got to push Prometheus because they've got three blocks right here.
Yeah, and
they've got the opportunity to maybe do something on an old right there. But this is hard because there's this all privatized over here, so they just lean on this block right here and say, okay. I mean, we should, but it's unfortunate because that was the other natural node right there.
There's a boat dog.
We sort of had this expectation for if we get a second pedestrian bridge opportunity that we would connect. You know, cross similar to sort of what's going on here at Gibbs. Now we're not going to have another tram there, but there's been 16,000 people getting on and off every day. But, you know, this could be another one. I mean, I think you're right. This is already in, though the Atwater has already been built. It's not really active right now or doesn't have that kind of space opportunity, so it would be maybe looking at that corner. But
I wonder if you don't start to look at the Gibbs and this site and that block and do another Universal Street.
One of those streets across there.
Yeah, and bring that across or somehow in that area. Tie into that Gibbs because then I think that you've got this area, and then I think you can kind of push this area down here, and then that's kind of where you are.
And the other great kind of unused, you get people really, really close to the river and the old spaghetti factory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a regional attractor, if you can believe. I mean, you know, people will wait an hour to have kind of a mediocre plate of spaghetti. And if you could bring other attractor restaurants down there and give them a little bit of a run, I mean, Spaghetti Factory is doing another concept restaurant that they could open down there. I mean, it's, you know, getting people out on the river on tables or, you know, again, being able to pull your boat up to that, hugely important. And the point about being able to rent a boat down there is actually a good one. I mean, if you don't own a big car and you want to go paddle something to Ross Island, you have to basically rent something or ask someone to help you get your boat there. Flexboat, right? So, and there's going to be, with the Ross Island being developed into a park, there's going to be a real, hopefully, a push, you know, for people to paddle in and around it. And, you know, what a great place to put another boat barn. So I think that's a great idea as far as...
Well, and I know from my own experience, I mean, I live in Northeast. I will ride my bike down to the East Side Esplanade and ride and ride and ride and ride all the way down the Springwater corridor to Selwood, and then I've got to go 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks off to get to a restaurant. I mean, and, you know, you can come down and you can get off on the Central East Side, and, you know, there's a few little areas to get off, and then you're 2 or 3 blocks off to get to a restaurant. And it's just here, we're actually building something, and we should have that ability to get on a trail, ride a bike to it, you know.
Wherever we have a commercial or activity place, we should have water, bike, pads, and automobile access. Water, bikes, pads, automobile access. And just take advantage of that dynamic.
Yeah.
And they will come. The market
argument that Troy talked about, that could be a 5-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we're doing here should last a long time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, where Lloyd was just pointing. I mean, we've got that one little note at the end of Lowell and River Parkway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that needs to push down further into. I mean, it's probably too late, but I mean.
I don't know. I think Spaghetti Factory needs a neighbor.
Well, Spaghetti Factory, it's easy to bring that up because back in the day, Mel Croker, who was
Can't
remember this one?
Yeah.
There's a mirror Old Spaghetti Factory proposed right in the north, right there.
Right.
Here, I probably remember that. I don't remember. But there, you know, another one. So.
You mean another Old Spaghetti Factory?
A mirror. Another cat.
It's not where we went.
So there was no one right there.
Was it also spaghetti?
Yeah.
Oh. We need room for the Doodle Factory.
This is their world headquarters. This is like
no,
we said,
this
it's hugely popular.
This is their.
But it's not on the water.
No, it's not on the water.
Yeah.
Another support. I mean, resale support.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about sort of implementation.
How do we get there?
And, you know, we can have a guideline. You know, all of these kind of require sort of, you know, enforcement pressure, all that kind of stuff, and pushback on developers and stuff. The guideline would say something like orient, you know, active use spaces towards the greenway, and you can be specific about location.
Commercial, not active use.
Or commercial space, right. So commercial use space toward the greenway, you know, and we could be specific about the locations. The active, you know, in addition or instead, we could map, you know, some of these areas with that gray line, the active building use area, which again is a zoning code tool and could require modifications and additional process and all that other kind of stuff. You know, so there's trade-offs, and of course we could do both. I think ideally, maybe this is just design gathering. We're talking about orienting space out there, and then we're, you know, relying on the developer to provide it and then be able to tenant. Maybe another thing to put that onus on that.
I think we need both.
I think we need both, and we can probably get the guideline right off the bat.
But both helps because when you ask for modification, then you're up against the guideline that gets you back to, you know, just try to meet the guideline. And the standard doesn't have as much meat as I think we all want, though. I mean, you really can build a lot and not get that commercial use anyway. Yeah, I mean, technically, the convention center we just saw, their back of house functions, meets the standard because 25 feet deep and 12 feet high, and that's it. That's all you got to do.
You put a kitchen for a restaurant on.
Yeah, so having it in both places helps us.
In specific locations is what I'm hearing.
And you guys yell at me if I'm off here. So I heard this stretch, I think, in front of OHSU, whatever that is, I heard at least two blocks, maybe three, Jeff, I don't know.
I think you need to do your universal street over Gibbs over.
This here, I think 323.
Yeah.
I heard. So that, this kind of thing.
And I want them to take that power pole down where they just put it so that we can put the street.
How'd that happen? How'd that make it through here?
Because they took it off site.
Oh, they took it off site.
Yeah, they put it in the greenway, so they didn't have to go through design review.
No, they put it on Zidell's land.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, it's on Zidell land.
It's just in the north, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So who owns the greenway?
It's various owners.
Yeah, the city
now
controls this piece right here, but the rest of the city owns that. Yeah, it's
probably the Department of Development Commission, is my understanding. Because if you need to parcel up a few small parcels and just sell them to developers. Sell them to a restaurant developer, sell them to a commercial. Just to spark that, I mean, just to have it truly.
But there's parcels
that are.
Yeah. Maybe lease, but I don't know if sell.
There's not that many other owners.
That'd be difficult. That was hard fought to get that.
Yeah.
It used to be 25 feet, now it's 75 to 100. Depending.
And this is actually showing me. You know, so I heard OHSU piece.
But I mean, boathouse pubs, Blends, and Lake Oswego. I mean, it'd be nice if, I mean, Prometheus probably has enough land that they could actually do something on the backside like that. I mean, short of solving the parking problem. But
I think, again, once this goes in, have they been in yet? Has Parks been by? Yeah.
No.
They're actually thinking a DA in the next month or two.
But if it goes in,
they're moving.
That's, well, that's what I think, again, to get to the backyard. It'll be a backyard until something happens. People begin to see, developers begin to see sort of potential there. Once this link is connected, just from a transportation standpoint, you're going to have enormous amounts of people. It's like the Eastbound Esplanade, all of a sudden using this thing.
Without homes on it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different dynamic.
No, that's true. But, I mean, the attractiveness and I think the visibility of it will become clear once it goes in. But so I heard this piece. We have three blocks here, and then I heard the Prometheus sort of march there.
Cut this piece off here, and then you got a development parcel.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a pad, restaurant pad.
Yeah.
The other, I think it's the...
But leave the developable piece.
Yeah.
The Spanish Factory in Prometheus, and then that area where OHSU is going to be. And I mean, there are things that this neighborhood is asking for that are completely outlandish, but, you know, they could be put on a list of stuff that... You know, they say they want down there, and that might make interesting uses on a waterfront, like they want a design museum. And somebody was grousing at the Discovery Center the other night because the symphony was playing down there, and it just didn't sound pristine. We need a music venue. I mean, you know, it's that kind of stuff, though, that, you know, it's sort of like you could do something like that on the waterfront and have it be this really wonderful jewel box and not have it be an ice cream cone stand that really only makes money 3 months out of the year. It's sort of moving away from that. River Place, Tchotchke ice cream model, and moving more towards a, why is this place special? It's special because I go to Ross Island, let's put a boat house, let's have a place where you can stop and eat something when you're on your bike, you know, any time of year. That kind of particular stuff that would work down there if it were done.
Down here on the Prometheus branch, would we want to go stop here at Bancroft, or just want to be clear, are we going down to where the space here.
I'd go on either side of Savannah Factory. I mean, that's such a neglected corner that.
Do you want to do this whole thing?
Yeah, that's kind of nice because it almost becomes.
Formula.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've got water transportation, peds, bikes, and cars.
So yes, so all the way down.
You need all that.
All right, so all those four.
The other reason this is important, I think, is to do it now, is that today this is almost predominantly all residential. And so if you're a restaurateur or something, you're going to go, well, I'm going to get breakfast on the weekend, probably no breakfast during the week, so all I've got is a dinner menu, and lunch is going to be minimal. But when OHSU goes in here and you've got 10,000 employees down here, then all of a sudden the complexion of daily business is going to work. And if we don't get it in place now, you know, that's going to happen. It'll never happen. You'll never get it.
You have to require those guys, too, to actually put it on the ground for uses. I mean, look at their campus. I mean, you know, all their restaurants are inside.
Yeah.
You know, I would change the underline from here to here. I mean, it's the variety that we're looking for, you know. It's not the...
Sorry, you guys, I have to leave, but okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's a couple of other questions real quick. Just when we talk about the types of uses that I know, there you go. There you go again, Ben.
This is what you wanted to see.
I know, this is what you wanted to see. Building edges. Given that a lot of the development going on and probably will continue to go on, even with this, is residential, there's obviously stuff there that you're seeing and that you're not liking, and I just think it would be good here and now to address, you know, what it is that you want to see with building edges that are residential.
So what I want to put here is a word that contribute to public activity or, yeah. I mean, something that's more of the public realm, mm-hmm. or something that supports the public realm, because they could say, I mean, oh, well, I'm contradicting what I said earlier, but I got my exercise room, so I got my three bicycles here,
right.
You know, and the curtain's going to be shut all the time, and that's my activity. Okay. So, I mean, I think,
okay. Well,
and I like the introduction of safety,
this
too.
This is residential and active uses here. I mean,
and then do we need to be more specific about design building edges, but do we mean to say... Riverfront edges?
Yeah.
Okay.
Riverfront edges.
I think it's, you know, face the greenway and the riverfront.
Facing.
I mean, this is something that goes back, again, many, many years. But, you know, row house types of frontages, you know, kind of a lobby-like entry, you know, just windows and active kinds of spaces. And architecturally, we have a couple buildings in Meriwether and Atwater. We can go down and look at the way those are, you know, doing it successfully or not. But, again, where we don't have an active use, where we don't have a restaurant or a whatever else, and the rest
we still
of the
need guidance as far
something
as...
else. Are the guidelines there? Are they working okay? And you can work with the language, or is there something else that we're not seeing, or you don't
that's
have
missing.
Enough examples that's missing that we need to add about the residential? Because there's still going to be some residential edges down there.
You know, we've talked about this layering effect and having the private space and all
right.
of that, and I thought about that quite a bit. I think actually, you guys can correct me. It works pretty well because you're probably not going to sell a property. I mean, in that example, those are commercial spaces along the ground floor. So, you know, people aren't living and walking right out into this kind of deal here. But in the way that, commercial on the ground floor on the water and residential above, then there will be front doors and people's spaces there. And I really think realistically you have to have something to define the edge between... public realm and the...
I disagree with you, though, actually, in this condition. That example, that slide there, but you can go to Amsterdam. On all the canals.
Yeah.
There's the canal, there's kind of a treed parking zone,
yeah.
There's the street, and then all the frontages of all the houses,
yeah.
And they take two steps up into their house, and
yeah.
You open the door, and you're usually in their front room, in the living room.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... I don't think that it's completely impossible.
No.
And I think if you are going to truly designate, quote-unquote, live work, then you've got to set it up for it truly to be work, which it's got to have a more public frontage there. And we do it in the Pearl District. I mean, all those people on most streets, I mean, I mean, we have a very small transition zone in that situation, in the Pearl, and people are, it's working there.
I mean, that's how it is on Balboa Island down in Newport. All those little patios and stuff are just, and the front doors just spill right out on the Esplanade, and you're just right there. I mean, some of the houses carved back and stuff. And
yeah.
Little kitchens and things. You're right on it. And it works. It works great.
So, but in terms of tools, I'm kind of hearing that I think it sounds like you guys have enough tools for the residential edges. Is that?
I guess, maybe? What about?
I have to go.
Yeah.
All right.
What about where the residential edge
Thanks,
meets
so.
Trail? Yes. What about where the residential edge meets trail? I mean, is there anything keeping them from developing essentially a little bicycle pedestrian moat / freeway that doesn't actually encourage penetration from the residential units into the trail, that kind of keeps the trail separate from them? I mean, not that they
would. You mean like a separate private trail?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, you have your stoop or whatever, and then you have, right now the way it is, you have a kind of an area that's your back or front yard, and then you have a sloped lawn, and then you have the trail. And I'm wondering if, you know, we need to talk about how the trail edge is developed, and that it shouldn't be something that is, there's a barrier between trail and this lawn / you know what I mean? I'm worried about setting up, especially if, you know, the developer is developing the trail, you know, that they're going to say, like, well, you know, we're just going to get a lot of riffraff on this trail, so let's just do something to moat it off.
But the developer isn't typically developing the trail.
Are they not?
That's to be developed.
That's
what's there right now
right.
is, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of that stuff that's there right now is on private property.
Yes. It's all
and,
property.
Yeah, and it's the development's own trail that they've put in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's these, the two pathways are still
to
be developed
river
in the future.
Word of what's there.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, you know, the riverscape kind of development, I don't know if you're familiar with that, that sort of does something kind of along the line. I call it a moat or sort of a barrier, but it's a secondary
it's a
sort of, so that row houses.
Right. It's a green moat.
Don't dump onto a. You know, totally public zone,
right.
The public trails, and they dump onto kind of a semi-private sort of pathway that's then, I think, as a landscape buffer, and then it's like...
Right, so the message is kind of like, move on. You know, just keep
going. It's kind of strange down in that zone. It's the house and them, and they're up on this level, the doors. Kind
that's
of
terrible.
And we're down here in this controlled path. And it would be neat to have, it's a little late, but to zero lot line these buildings, put... residential right on the path.
The other answer I'd say on discussion, how should residential face greenway, I'd say from the second floor up.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you're going to come down to the greenway, then I think that I think we should move away from what Lloyd was just talking about as this kind of terraced green moat between the river. I mean,
no semi-private transition zone. You're moving away from a transition zone.
Moving towards this. Nyhavn in Denmark is another great example.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
In fact, I mean, that whole Gibbs alignment thing is great. It's all polluted land. Let's dig it all out and let the river come back in, like Nyhavn, and then you got Nyhavn, and you got Gibbs that can be a...
The boats
can just come right back in. Yeah.
I mean, as much as I want that, I mean, I'm just struggling because that's just such a different development environment and culture and society than where we're at. And again, I'm happy to kind of encourage that. I'm just afraid that you're going to get a lot of.
You're not going to get that. We know we're not going to get that. But it's to get.
But the flip side, Mark, is that we've got all these private little townhouses that are
right.
Separated 25 feet from the public realm. And they're going to be private forever. And you just privatized the entire river system.
It feels very suburban down there right now. It's not like there's that condominium development. I think it's past the Avalon. If you take the trail through the park and down.
Yeah, the old McAdams.
It's another little condo development that has a little concrete path going by it. And it's, again, very much, it's like we're up here and the message is move on.
So it's more direct connection then between residential units and the public trail system. There's not a sequence of space there.
Could the public trail system be their sidewalk, for instance?
Well, right. Well, if it's the bikes, which
more
is going to be inboard,
like,
that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, the bikes
so we're
are
need
closer to
a little bit of space.
No, I mean, let them. I mean, right now what they're developing is 25 feet of terraced green space. Let them develop little stoops and urban plazas.
Yeah. As the Strand gets filled up now, that place has finally started to work down there. The, mm-hmm. You know, it's really, in my opinion, it's the first good integration of the river into the cityscape, because that density is there now, and that the Japanese restaurant's going in there into the Strand, I guess. And it feels good down there. And it's all front doors onto the hardscape and right in everybody's path, and it's starting to work.
All right. That's good.
And the reason why retail doesn't work further down by the Westin Hotel and all that type of stuff is because we said we were going to make these zones exclusive of the automobile. You know, it was only going to be a pedestrian path. And we had that one little kind of turnaround to get down there. And that and we gated all the housing up above. You know, you can get very few pedestrians just on the two ends to get down on a pedestrian. So, I mean, that's why I think people think like, oh, it doesn't work. But if you can do the combination like this, where you can do the universal streets so that you can allow people to get a car down there, take care of the bikes, take care of the pedestrians, and then you got people living in more density right up on top of you, I think that we might have a chance.
Well, that is a good segue for the next issue that I wanted to bring up with you all about streets and access, well, particularly universal streets.
The north-south.
The north-south. That
not
you were,
so much the east-west.
Right, that you were talking about.
This thing here on the Greenway. Like in front of the Atwater. It's pretty weird if you go down there now, I think. So.
And again, the same question. What is missing or what is this still working? Is there something, is there more guidance for these universal streets on the Greenway and how they're connected to the Greenway? As we're writing this, we want to know what we're looking for that we currently don't have.
Well, it's not fair because Lloyd's not here and then Mike's off the commission, but I think we overdid it on the green finger thing because practically every one of those streets is kind of a green finger, and we should have designated, which I don't think Gibbs necessarily was the right place to do it. It should have been further down, but we never designated this kind of commercial finger that came from the river and came up into the heart of this district. We never did that. So it's going to be awfully hard to go back and reverse that at this point, I think. But
look at the universal street around to Gibbs. I mean, maybe Gibbs could become that. I think without that connection, like you're right, I think it's tough. Gibbs was always envisioned just because of the tram landing in the 16,000, or plus or minus, so it's just you people getting on and off of that. That many bodies was going to be able to activate that with an urban plaza.
Yeah.
But I think we also have a lot of questions about the width of the right of way, that being, you know, right now it's supposed to be 100 feet wide, which is a weird dimension. It's based on not necessarily placemaking or retail environment kind of issues, based on some easements. So I think without sort of some connections and more.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind too, I mean, retail needs active retail on both sides of the street. And too often, I mean, in this district, you never get that type of intensity. I mean, Gibbs is going to be hard enough, and that's why I think we do need to make that connection, because it's still kind of a one-sided thing. And then you've got the bridge over here, and you might be able to build something over here, but it's so much in play. And then we've got, you know, our two-block park, you know, and if you look at the North Park blocks, South Park blocks, retail doesn't do terribly well. You're starting to see a little bit of activation on the North Park blocks with a few restaurants, but I mean, it's struggled over the years. So I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, I wish a lot of things in this district, but we're never going to get them. But I wish we would have really done a promenade from the river up into the heart of this thing, and that would have been your retail core east-west.
I think we still could go for. All I'm saying is, I think Gibbs is not done yet at all, actually. And so I think there's still maybe time to save some part of Gibbs, and we can still tighten actually from the north side down. So we can tighten it up a little bit, which would work better for retail, frankly, given that.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be 100 feet wide.
It does not need to be 110 feet wide. So if we tighten it up, that would help. If we get another universal street connection around, that would help. And if we get a good anchor on the river, that would help. So I think Gibbs could still kind of salvage Gibbs, I think.
But just make it way tighter.
Well, I mean, you could come from the Zidell side, you come back. It's going to be, we have a high voltage easement right now on the south side, which is pushing the south, dropping it back. So So I don't know. I don't think if we're going to be able to come north.
So the only other place that I think that you could do it is probably that between the Spaghetti Factory and Prometheus. I mean, unless you were going to do it right through the middle of the Prometheus site. But
so Universal.
No, doing a street that can kind of
Lowell.
Extend that Lowell further down. And then hopefully Spaghetti Factory, instead of being a sea of parking, will eventually, you know, if you could keep both sides of Lowell, you know, that could develop commercially there and then get down to, because don't we have a bike, or I mean a dock plan somewhere in that general vicinity?
I think so. They're moving.
They
is
move.
The thing,
they
so.
Move according to elevation and the beds. And
well, it goes back
so
to, we have different people.
We have to be kind of flexible about where the docks are, unfortunately. I mean, the best that we can ask for is to align with east-west.
Any street.
Yeah, any street.
See, Mark, it does not surprise me that River, I always want to say Riverscape, River Parkway is turning out to be a retail street. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, because of what's developed now, I mean, the cluster of stuff that's built is built right in here.
Right.
I mean, right.
Right.
Now, so it doesn't surprise me either. I'm just frustrated because that's where they always want to put it. We have a lot of requirements that I was fighting against putting on River Parkway that we ended up putting there, which was requiring that space to be there. I mean, you know, the active building use areas and all.
But I would say that we killed retail on Bondon and Moody by putting the park there.
And this park wasn't supposed to be here either, Jeff. Remember, this was supposed to be over here anyway. I mean, which still wouldn't have been good for this, but it started out being here and actually was further over even before that. So it's moving west, you know, one block at a time every 2 to 3 years. And so now we own it, so, I mean, it's going to be there. But the other thing that you guys should think about is that River Parkway is going to have to end up in here somewhere. Right? We have a proposal right now that's kind of forming for that, for a potential new bridge that Laura talked about earlier that's going to cross somewhere here. We have probably the likelihood that Bond here is going to move north through this area and probably turn into River Parkway, what is now called River Parkway, and street plant through here. And this is going to come to some kind of end up in here somewhere. You know, and because with the bridge is probably actually going to be a little further south than where I'm kind of going to be probably in here somewhere doing that and actually kind of coming across. So River Parkway, you know, as this sort of new north-south kind of riverfront street connection thing is, may not ever see the water at the end of the day. So it's going to kind of come up here and return, which is just something to think about urbanistically, and that may be fine. But Bond is going to be the one that kind of punches through here and may get renamed River Parkway through here. But
I think that's fine. And actually, Mark, I'd say if you can screw the grid up, all the better.
Yeah.
I mean, because even that layout there where we tend to try to get things, for the most part, to be rectangular, I mean, that's the other thing that will save districts like this, is that if we can actually get more unique geometries in the urban grid. And, I mean, the river's bending, so let's acknowledge that.
I totally hear that. Well, exactly. So where were you, Jeff, while you're here?
That's what I was thinking. It'd be cool to have a universal street along the entire edge. A tight European
That was, we talked, street, yeah, I mean, we totally.
All the way, just right along the grid.
Where were you, Ben? If you were there. Yeah. So that was pitched that too. So anyway.
So what I'm hearing, I guess, is that Universal Street's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything more specific about the Universal Streets that we should be?
I think that you could emphasize a little bit more. I mean, this green finger ideas, and we've done stormwater, and I think that there's some good examples where it's really, truly a green finger street. Mm-hmm. I think that there's another side that's a little bit more urban and a little bit more gritty than our concept of these kind of universal access streets that, I mean, we've kind of applied a one-size-fits-all. And I guess what it comes back to is the word variety and diversity. Is that each street can have its own personality, and we're kind of making Green Street, you know, skip a block, Green Street, skip a block, and they're all kind of the same.
Not all done yet.
No, I know, but I mean, so I think that there are, again, if you go back to the Amsterdam example of the ways townhouses interact with streets, with canals, I mean, I think that you got a pretty rich thing. And in that case, I mean, I think, this is what I've always said too, is that I think those streets, rather than kind of being more open and leafy and green, might be interesting if we got a street that was just tightened down to like 40 feet and it was more like an alleyway, you know, or 30 feet. And you just bounce back and forth between great little, you know,
I think the tax we ended up, we had proposals for those too. The tax we got was 50, I think, in some of these.
I don't even know where they ended up, but some of the, like, Pinoyer here is 50. Are we 50 in there? I can't remember.
Because it's sad, because you get down on that river and those winds starts whipping around. And, I mean, if you could create a much more intimate experience that, you know, you've got a little bit more kind of protection with canopies or whatever, and then just that intense feel. But, I mean, so I just think some of our green streets could be more, let them be permeable, but they don't have to be so vegetated, I guess. And maybe it's just one that can kind of take on a more, but I'm saying, in all fairness to Lloyd and Mike, they're not here to represent that.
Well, this is our next slide. I just wanted to go over the next steps. So we'll be coming back to you in June. As well as August and September. We're going to also be meeting with the Planning Commission and the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, as well as the Greenway Partnership Group, and probably meeting with property owners and residents of the district as well. But we don't have those dates yet. So if you guys have any other questions or anything else you guys want to talk about. I know I was kind of heavy on the Activate the Greenway, but that seemed to be a big...
That's
the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah. So if there, I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to cover.
I think the message, and it can come through Kara and our staff, is that Design Commission isn't going to accept the status quo any longer, and that they need to see more. I mean, you guys are very effective of that, of doing that. Yeah. You know, that we've taken the temperature, and they're just fed up, and they want to see this. So.
Just be prepared that Prometheus block is in May as a type 3. So
we can
get the word out. I mean, they heard it from you. They did hear it from you, but they do have a scheme they want to go with. So.
Well. They're full steam ahead on that. You know.
I'm sorry.
Ellen Brown got to go ahead on that construction. So they're going to go.
They're gonna get 41.
Yeah, 41.
So yeah, that's the main
Well, we might push them into a better market.
Upside to that.
We'd like to hear you say status quo.
Yeah.
So keep telling us.